Another edition of Pittsburgh Pop with Rob Owen and Tim Benz, your weekly look at pop culture here on Trib Live. Thank you for joining us each and every Monday. Read Rob at the Trib. You can find him at TV Talk, TV Q&A, read me daily Breakfast with Benz. Rob was at the Critics' Choice Awards. That's where he joins us from right now. Rob, good to talk to you again. How was it?
So last night I was at the Critics' Choice Awards, which that is Critics' Choice is one organization, and I'm out here for the Television Critics Association press tour, which is a different organization. TCA does have an awards show. It's in the summer, but mostly TCA is previewing upcoming shows through press conferences and one-on-one interviews with producers, writers, actors, executives, that sort of thing. But last night, got in my tux, went over to the Fairmont Century Plaza about half hour away in no traffic, which was nice. There was no traffic in LA. That was great. For the Critics' Choice Awards, which I've been a member of CCA for, 6 or 7 years now, but I'd never been to their awards show. If you ask me to explain CCA, I probably can't, because it seems like a lot of people from TCA should be in CCA, but they're not. So CCA is like a lot of people who do broadcast reporting on entertainment, which there aren't that many left of, but there's a lot of people in CCA. So I don't completely understand the organization I'm a part of, but be that as it may, the awards
show. Bob, I can say that about a lot of organizations I've been a part of.
All right, good. I'm not alone. But the awards show was fun. You know, I've covered the Golden Globes before, which take place at the Beverly Hilton, which is about a 20-minute walk from the Fairmont Century Plaza. And the covering the Globes was a huge pain in the rear end, because you had to make multiple trips for credentials. And maybe I would have to have done that if I was credentialed as press for CCA. But since I went as a CCA member, it was a little, I just had to show up and get my ticket at will call. And I didn't have a red carpet pass, but I still found a spot to stake out and see the red carpet. Discovered I have a much harder time identifying celebrities in profile, because I was at the end of the carpet. So, you know, they're all facing the photographers. So, but I was seeing them in profile. But after a while, I got a little more used to it. And especially when they were big TV name people coming by, I could recognize them. When the women change their hair, that's when I have the hard time sometimes, because I'm like, oh, I do not recognize you as much. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. There were a lot of big stars there. Not the biggest. I waited till the very end of the red carpet to see if Tom Cruise would cruise in last, but he didn't. The last person down the red carpet was Austin Butler, who played Elvis in the Elvis movie. He was not smiling for the cameras. He was very stoic and stone-faced. And I'm sure that was because of the passing of Lisa Marie Presley. He did not want to look happy, is my
got it.
Yes. But yeah, so then it was a viewing party. I was not in the actual ballroom. There is a lottery system to get in the actual ballroom. But I'm not sure it would gain you that much, having sat in other awards shows like the TV Critics Awards. But the viewing party was, you know, one floor up, next room over, whatever. And occasionally you would see a star come through the lobby sneaking out early. For instance, when Pam and Tommy lost in the limited series race, I believe The Dropout was the show that won. About 5 minutes afterwards, Sebastian Stan, who played Tommy, exited because, you know, they lost. I don't think he was upset that they lost. I don't want to, you know, put that on him. But I do think it's like, well, I don't have to be here anymore because I don't have to go up on stage. The show didn't win, so I'm going to exit. And he very nicely took a photo with like a kid who was a fan of the Marvel stuff.
His pants weren't talking at any point, were they?
Nothing below the waist was talking. So that was good. And, you know, it was, and then after the show,
was Lily James around?
Okay, so this is part of my face blindness. I did not see her. Doesn't mean she wasn't there, because there are a bunch of women. I'm like, oh, she's beautiful. She's clearly somebody, but I'm not exactly sure who, because her hair is different this time.
Lily James's hair is different all the time. She's
right.
Very much a chameleon in how she is.
So portrayed. I probably stood no chance if she was there of picking her out. There are plenty of people that I did. I mean, And then others later, it was, I would like take their picture on the red carpet. And then when I was scrolling through photos, I found the official photos that Getty Images shot, and they had captions on who everybody was. It was like, oh,
now
that was Abby Elliott. Oh, that was Phoebe Daner, you know, that sort of thing. So, but it was fun. You know, there's lots of food everywhere, lots of good food, chocolate bars, vegan chocolate bars. So we'll see how that turns out. But and they had raffles, didn't get anything in the raffle, but it was fun to watch. And then there was an after party. So the viewing party was upstairs on the lobby level. And then the entrance to the ballroom is on the floor below, two floors below. And so after the show ended, the doors to the ballroom open up and everybody comes flooding out, not as quickly as I thought. And so I was down there when they opened the doors. I heard the best picture winner and then hightailed it downstairs. And then I was able to kind of sneak into the ballroom just to look around and get pictures and see what they were eating. Their food was not as good as our food in the room. And so I did hear people coming out being like, oh my God, I'm hungry, where's pizza? And so there was a lot of food in the foyer. And I was sort of surprised the number of people who stayed to get food and eat. They weren't so much chatting with critics. The only person I talked to was Peter Gould, the co-creator of Better Call Saul. And the only reason I talked to him is because he wasn't talking to anyone. And so I was like, okay, I can come up. But a lot of them, it's like, I get a little, I'm so trained not to interact with the stars in a fanish way at TCA that I'm hesitant to fanboy in another setting. Because Peter Gould was waiting for his wife to go to the restroom, I did talk to him briefly. But there were a lot of chit chats, like you saw Abby Elliott chatting with Rachel Bloom. Who else did I see? Oh, a bunch of cast members from Abbott Elementary were there hanging out together. You know, it was kind of fun. And I was pleasantly surprised how many stayed. Some made a beeline for the valet because it was like a long wait to get your car from the valet and you could only valet park. But yeah, it was overall a fun experience, all but somewhat hectic because I was photo editing all the red carpet shots I took during the telecast.
Who won what of note?
Oh gosh, you're gonna make me remember from last night on this little sleep.
Who won Best Picture at the least? How about that?
So Best Picture went to Everything Everywhere All at Once. That was kind of the darling. Ki Hui Kwan, I probably said it wrong, who was Short Round, and he was also in The Goonies, and he's had this career resurgence thanks to that movie. He also won an award last night. And drama series was Better Call Saul. Comedy series was Abbott Elementary. And then comedy film was Glass Onion, a Knives Out mystery. Animated film was Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. Some of the awards kind of mirrored what happened at the Golden Globes last week. And then others were a little bit different, but there was nothing super out of left field that won. I don't think.
What else from TCA? We talked about that a little bit last week.
Yeah. So since last week, because when we talked last week, that was the first day of TCA. So, a lot of water has gone under that bridge. We had Paramount Plus here. I've written some stuff off of that. There's still some more to come. I've got a couple local angles that I was able to get out of.
By the way, do you prefer water under the bridge or water over the dam? What's your preference?
Under the bridge, I think.
Under the bridge. Okay. Yeah. I always freeze in that metaphor. I'm not sure which one is more appropriate.
Yeah. FX did a really good day of panels, as they always do, because they do, you know, quality stuff. ABC was here for a day. There was some Disney Plus stuff. I would say the panel that was probably had the most high energy was for an upcoming Disney Plus show that looks like it's kind of a family, maybe kids show. I think my 8-year-old will watch it up a lot, called American Born Chinese. And it's based on a graphic novel. And the cool thing about this was that it had two Golden Globe winners, the actor who played Short Round in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, and Michelle Yeoh, who is a longtime favorite of mine from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and she was in Star Trek Discovery, and all sorts of things. So like 2 days after the Golden Globes, we had them on stage. The panel was really good. The writers were giving really smart answers. And it's interesting. I did not watch the show. There's so many shows to watch before panels, and I get to some of them. No one can get to all of them. But I was impressed with that panel. And that's one of the best things about TCA, really, is that you go into it and there are some things you've watched, and so you're excited to find out more about. And then there are things you're kind of discovering along the way. Now, it may be that the show is terrible. I haven't seen it yet, but there was a lot of energy in the room in that conversation. And that tends to be a positive thing. Whereas, for instance, yesterday on NBC's day, not a lot of energy for the Night Court reboot. So,
ooh, okay. All right. Yeah. I've seen a lot of promos for that watching Peacock lately for the NFL games.
It's not good.
Is that your opinion or is that what you've been told? Have you seen any of it
yet? Oh, no, I've seen it. I watched another one this morning just to make sure that I wasn't wrong.
What's the premise? That John Larroquette's character is the same and everybody else is different? Is that it?
Yes. Melissa Rauch, who played Bernadette on The Big Bang Theory, plays the story.
Harry Anderson.
The daughter of Harry Anderson.
Oh, his daughter. Okay.
Yeah. Right. So Harry Stone in the show, Harry Anderson, the actor who has passed away.
Yeah.
She plays his daughter in the show. Harry Stone has passed away. She is the new Night Court judge. And she recruits Dan, who in the original was a prosecutor. She recruits him to come back as a defense attorney. And, you know, Larroquette is great as always, although it's a very different Dan Fielding. You know, in the original, Dan Fielding was, you know, this lecherous guy. And in this, he's a widower. His wife has passed away. And so that we find him in a different place, but he's still, you know, got that same wiry energy that he had, even though he's much older. And then the rest, you know, Marsha Warfield is still alive. The guy who played Bull, Richard Mall, is still alive. They're not back, at least in the first two episodes. Maybe they'll make cameos later. So everybody else is a new character. And it's just the writing. The writing is not great. I mean, the stuff for Dan is better. And I think probably a lot of that is a testament to Larroquette as a performer, that he's able to take mediocre stuff and make it better. And Melissa Rauch is great. I like her. She's not using her Bernadette voice. So it's interesting to hear her sound a little different. But the writing is, I don't know if they are trying to emulate 90s sitcom writing, but it just, there's a lot of kind of groaners and not, didn't make me as laugh as much as I wanted to. They do use the theme song, or at least a version of it.
Oh, good. That's important. That's all I cared about then.
Okay. There you go.
Mayor of Kingstown and The Last of Us. What's up with them?
Yeah. So I'm sure you haven't watched Mayor of Kingstown. That's the Jeremy Renner show on Paramount Plus.
What's going on with him?
Yeah. Well, that was my question too. Like, when I read that he got run over by something that weighed 7 tons, I was like, can he walk again? But I'm assured that he will be able to walk again, that it's going to be a long recovery, but that he will be able to resume the role if the show gets renewed for a third season. So it came back on Sunday for season 2, which was filmed in Pittsburgh. I talked to Hugh Dillon, who is a co-star in the show and also created the show with Taylor Sheridan, the guy who created the Yellowstone universe. It is a very rough show. Like, it is not a show that I enjoy watching. So
too hard to get through.
It's just, you know, in the first two episodes alone, there was,
high body count,
death by gun, death by knife, death by beating, death by dog mauling. I mean, it's a lot of death. It's a little rough for me. It's a little bit like Sons of Anarchy, except I really liked Sons of Anarchy until about the 6th or 7th season, when there was a murder that was just too heinous and I couldn't stick with it. But I put up with a lot on Sons of Anarchy because the characters were so good and the writing was so good.
Yeah, I got through about 4 seasons of Sons of Anarchy. I think after the first big Irish season, I was like, I was done.
Enough
plot twists and turns and, you know, like characters spinning on a dime and plot shifts based around that and subterfuge. And now, you know, this gang is our friends. Now they're our enemies. And the other guys are our friends. I got tired of that.
Yeah. So Mayor of Kingstown is back, but I think my devotion to watching things filmed in Pittsburgh may not extend to that one. I'll watch the season finale when it happens, just to know where it leaves off in case it gets renewed, but I don't know that I can watch it all the way through. The Last of Us you mentioned, that's an HBO show. So I am curious. I don't know. Are you a gamer? Have you ever played the video game Last of Us? Okay. I hadn't either. We'd only had a Wii until Christmas when Santa brought a PS5. And this is a game for the PlayStation, so I suppose I could play it at some point, but I won't. But the show, I actually highly recommend to you on HBO and HBO Max. It's an adaptation of this video game. And I before I say this, I will preface it with... hearing the plot, I was like, there's no way I'm going to like this. We just got rid of The Walking Dead. I don't need another zombie show. And yet... it's a really, really good show.
It's a good zombie show.
It's a good zombie show. And in fairness, The Walking Dead was good early on. It just went on way too long. But yeah, it's a good, Last of Us is a good zombie show. And the smart thing that they did, and I don't know if this is the story in the game or not, but they started out, the zombie apocalypse happens, and then they stop and jump forward 20 years. So like all the stuff that Walking Dead did after the zombie apocalypse, they basically skip over, which I think is smart because then you're at least, the plot is a little different. It ends up being kind of a road trip thing between a survivor and a pit played by Pedro Pascal of The Mandalorian. Get to see his face this time much more. And then this young woman who sort of becomes a surrogate daughter, played by a British actress who I saw last night. Took me a while. I was like, oh, I recognize you. Who are you? And then I finally realized it was Bella Ramsey, who played Lyanna Mormont, who was a young girl leader in the original Game of Thrones. And it's just very character-driven, really just smartly written. And like in episode 3, which is the best episode of the ones that I've seen thus far, it just goes off on this tangent with these other characters who are fully formed, and ultimately they intersect with the Pedro Pascal character. But you really feel like you're living in this world. They did a really great job of world building. And it should be noted that the guy who created the video game and also co-wrote the series and directed some of the episodes dreamed up the concept for the video game when he was a master's student in Carnegie Mellon's Entertainment Technology Center. The class assignment was to pitch a zombie movie or a zombie video game to George Romero. So this was back in the early 2000s when Romero was still alive. And Last of Us is what Neil Druckmann pitched. Romero didn't like it as well as one of the other ones. It wasn't his pick, but Druckmann went on and eventually created it as the video game, which was a huge hit. And now it's an HBO series, which I think will probably grow into a hit as well.
So last thing, Rob, before we go here, this is a little bit more in my sports wheelhouse anyway. You sent the ratings market by market for the NFL this season. To no one's surprise, I would think, Buffalo and Kansas City, two diehard football markets, they led the way in terms of rating. The household rating, 44.8 for Buffalo, Kansas City, 42.1. Then Milwaukee and Pittsburgh, fourth. Milwaukee, of course, the Green Bay Packers. That's not a shocker. The Steelers, even though their offense was literally unwatchable at times this year, people watched it. And the Steelers ended up fourth overall, which... not bad with a household rating of what was it? I just minimized it here. 32.9. Total viewers are 687,000, I guess, is what they were looking at.
It seems, you know,
a little low.
A little low, but yeah, I don't have anything from years past in front of me to compare it to, but certainly there's probably some room to grow there. I mean, when you think about the losing streak they were on for a while, I'm sure that dampened enthusiasm, which in turn, you know, dampens turnout.
Yeah, I think one thing that would help is if they get off to a better start. You know, they're so bad lately, at least three out of the last 4 years, and getting off to bad starts, that it tends to quell enthusiasm in October and November. And then you have to be sort of talked back into them being relevant in December, which is exactly what happened this year. So, right. I think that's where the TV numbers can be helped, is if they get off to a better start in September, then October and November might look a little bit better.
But still, you know, there are plenty of larger TV markets that did way worse. Washington,
in terms of the overall rating? Oh,
yeah. Washington, D.C., the rating was 13.7 compared to the 32.9. Am I looking at that right?
I mean, even with the Patriots, Boston's down to 24.3. You know, that's the Brady effect there, not winning in Boston as opposed to when they were champions every year. It's not like that number is held and they became a mediocre, boring team in the post Brady years. And that has now settled them. They're still in the top 10 roughly.
Yeah. Oh, I would think so. Because when you go down this, particularly when I pulled it out now and I'm looking at the household share.
Actually, they're 12th. They're 12th.
Are they 12th? Okay.
Yeah.
When you look at that household share, you know, 69% is their household number. And that's, so 69% of the people tuned into television were watching the Steelers when a Steelers game was on, compared to 40% of the audience in DC, 36% of the audience in Atlanta. I mean, these are all much larger TV markets. Miami, 37%. Let's see, what's that? Philadelphia, 55%. Dallas, well, Dallas is closer, 63%. But there's a lot of markets that Pittsburgh was ahead of in terms of.
I just want to know what people are watching instead of the Chiefs in Kansas City. What's getting the other 20% there, Rob? That's.
I mean, the other 20% is everything else under the sun.
Right,
all the broadcast,
exactly,
all the cable, all the streaming. So there's no dearth of things to watch. So the fact that anything can get 80% of the audience just shows you the devotion of the Kansas City fan base. It shows you the devotion of the Steelers fan base, and why the NFL is such an important commodity to television, because it is a monoculture event in a environment in which there is no more monoculture.
Well, that'll do it for us this week. Rob, what do you have for TV Talk and TV Q&A?
I was just going to mention one other thing. Last week, we talked about A Man Called Otto, which went wide at the box office this past weekend.
Yeah.
Didn't do huge numbers, but did much better numbers than expected, which I think is probably the Tom Hanks effect. Also, that film, even though critics gave it not great reviews, it got an A cinema score rating. So I just think that's interesting. And it, you know, in a time when movies aimed at older audiences, which A Man Called Otto clearly was, are doing terrible at the box office, that one did quite surprisingly well. So you know, we'll see if it holds up, but that was good for A Man Called Otto. In terms of television coverage this week, still at TCA, I've got PBS today and tomorrow, Apple TV Plus Wednesday, then I'm done. But I also have some stories coming, local ties on an upcoming FX show. Talk to a cast member from another show filming locally. So that is coming. I don't honestly remember the lead topic in TV Q&A at this moment, but it will post Wednesday as usual.
All right, that'll do it for us. And we will be back next week for another edition of Pittsburgh Pop.